Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Well, I'm going to begin tonight with just a testimony that happened to me last night. I didn't get to come to service. Most of you know I have a foot problem. It's pretty bad. I'm taking care of that, going to a surgical center on Thursday to have them look at it. But I didn't get to go to church last night because I had wanted to go try to get something for the pain, yada, yada. So I went to Target. And when I walked in, I grabbed a cart, and as I began to just push that cart, I realized, oh, look, there's a wallet here. Someone forgot to buy their wallet. And very quickly, I realized that that was someone's wallet just laying there, and it had tons and tons and tons of cash in it. And I was telling my husband, I said, I immediately went to the desk and I immediately talked to the store manager and the people that were there. And they told me that the lady had just called, and I could imagine how frantic she was. And you can call me crazy, but I just want to tell you that I believe that God puts us in the right place because he can trust us to do the right thing, to do the righteous thing. And, you know, that's helping somebody. That's blessing somebody. And it's great to know that you can bless people that you may never meet in this life, that you've done something the right thing. I think of people who give kidneys and all kinds of different things, liver things, and they don't always get to meet the person, or they're an organ donor of some type. But God knows what you do, and it's just wonderful. There's a good feeling to be able to say that you helped somebody, and that you know, that God used you in some small way, you know, great or small. We represent, we're ambassadors in the kingdom, aren't we? We're going to continue on with Moses, because I want to finish the nine plagues, get to the place where we're going to be talking about the most exciting thing of all, the blood. But we're not going to do that tonight. We're going to finish these. But I want to begin by giving you a repeat definition, if you're taking notes, of actually what a plague is. If you're writing this down, it's an unusually large-scale calamity or disaster where multitudes of people and or animals are affected, and there is considerable loss of life. That's the definition of a plague. So I said last week that COVID absolutely fulfills the definition of a plague, where it's a large-scale calamity and there was a loss of life. It was actually a pestilence. By the time that the children of Israel are going to be actually beseeched and begged by Pharaoh to actually leave Egypt, he doesn't want to let them go, Moses is going to tell him, he's going to give him an ultimatum that I won't even leave a hoof of an animal behind in this place. And this is something that I think we can all relate to, because everything you have when you come into the kingdom of God and you receive Christ is consecrated unto the Lord and redeemed. And I want to say that, because yesterday I was talking about the fact that if you tithe, the revelation God gave me, and you give your 10%, that God told me I redeem the rest of your money. And so, you know, it belongs to me because you've honored me. And so I could relate to Moses saying not a hoof is left behind, because here's the reality with our family, and the devil can't have me, but nor can he have anything that belongs to me. Do you understand that? He cannot have my husband. He cannot have my mom. He cannot have my children. He can't even have Maverick. Not even one paw will be left behind. That's what Moses was saying. Not one. I'm not willing to give up anything to the enemy. And that's really the attitude and the heart we should have, that we're not willing to surrender anything to the enemy at all, because it doesn't belong to the devil. And so I'm going to be doing a podcast about that real soon too. But we talked about the fact that the plagues that God sent upon Egypt, and by the way, he's a good God, and everything he does is for our benefit. And so actually him sending the plagues was his mercy. It was judgment and mercy at the same time. You know, mercy and justice had kissed each other. It was mercy at the same time because he was trying to, through these hard plagues, get Pharaoh's attention and the attention of the people that they too might do the right thing. And so the plagues were, each of these plagues were a direct response to Pharaoh worshiping not God, but the things that God creation. We're never to worship the creation. We're to worship the creator. And so it was God who had made the Nile River who that they could drink water from. But instead of thanking God and worshiping God, they decided to worship the actual Nile River. And that's a slam on God. It's mocking God. God will not be mocked because they refused to worship the God of the universe who created those things. In other words, they gave no credit to God for his goodness or thanked him for the water. Zero, zero, zero. So every time that he sent a plague, he sent also by way of mercy. Not only were the plagues of mercy trying to get him to repent, before he sent the plague, he always sent Moses and Aaron to warn Pharaoh, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm about to do. That is an opportunity to say, I repent. Please relent, God. And do you know something? He would, because he's done it many times when people repented and turned the other way and made a different decision. He doesn't change his character as his nature, but he definitely changes his decisions. And I've seen it in the Word of God many times. But even with a warning, Pharaoh's heart was so hard against God that he did not repent, because nine times he suffered plagues before the most serious plague, which was plague number 10, and continued to refuse to obey. And these people belong to God's people. They were consecrated. They were set apart to God. God called the people of Israel his son, his beloved son. So God did not ask Pharaoh. He did not suggest to Pharaoh to let his people go. He demanded, he commanded that Pharaoh let the people go. And Pharaoh said no. Have you ever tried saying no to God? It doesn't go well. It doesn't work well at all. And when you understand God's mercy, you understand that God also could have entered in and did justice and judgment at any time. He could have killed Pharaoh on the spot and said, you will not mock me. You won't have not one more opportunity to knock me at all. And he could have done it on the spot and supernaturally delivered the people. But God works through people, and he works with people, and he wants people to repent. His desire is that none should perish. So when God sent the frogs, Pharaoh called for Moses and asked him to request that the Lord please now take the frogs away. Please take the frogs away. And still Pharaoh refused to obey God. It was very interesting. He also asked, he said, and on one of the plagues, he said, and when would you like me to pray? When would you like me to pray for those to go? And he said, well, tomorrow's good. So he prayed tomorrow. They went away. Every time God did his part, Moses did his part, Pharaoh did not do his part. The reason, though, that Pharaoh did not repent and would not repent is because every time that he asked, God gave him relief. And here's people, I've heard this so many times from people. Oh, God, if you will just heal my poor sick friend, if you will just heal my husband, my child, I'm going to be in service every single week. If you will heal me, I have heard people that were about to die. I've heard them say it in my own ears. They said it with their own mouth. Pastor Pam, if God will heal me, I'll be in church every time the door opens. I can't wait to be healed. And they do not come. They are not here. Okay? Having said that, that's what Pharaoh was doing. You know, I'm going to live for you, God. If you'll do this one thing for me, if you'll answer this prayer for me, if you will get me out of this mess, God, one more time, just one more time, God, just give me one more chance. You're going to see I'm going to serve you with all my heart. I mean, I'll be serving in the church. I'll be giving tithes. I'll be jumping pews. Does not happen. Does not happen because they receive relief and they have not been yet repented. So plague number 3 was the lice or the gnats, one of the two. And actually at this time, the sorcerers told Pharaoh, he said, this is the finger of God. They were 100% correct. And Pharaoh, being a slow learner, decided he still would not repent. So then we have to bring in the flies. So there's another, gnats aren't good enough. Lice isn't good enough. We're going to bring in the flies. And the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh. When he comes out to the water, how many times does this happen now? Comes out to the water, you go and tell him again, let my people go and that they can serve me. Or else, you're to tell him something else. Or else, if you don't let my people go, I'm going to send swarms of flies on you and your servants and on your people into your houses. They're going to be swarms and swarms and swarms of flies. They're going to be on the ground. You're going to be stepping on flies. You're going to be, flies are going to be everywhere. And he said, except they're not going to be in Goshen where my people are. You're going to notice. He said, you're going to see the separation. I'm going to make it clear to you that this isn't happening to my people. It's happening to you and your people. And then you're going to know that I am the Lord in the middle of the land, that I'm here. Sometimes we need the reminder that God is here. God is here and he's not mocked. So these plagues did not, none of them, by the way, did affect God's people at all. That last plague could have affected God's people. Now we're going to talk about that next week. I'm not going to get into that this week. But that plague could have affected God's people. It pertains to the cross and that we have to have the blood applied. But here Moses is reminding the people of God that the people of God are not going to be affected by these plagues, Pharaoh. Just to let you know, Pharaoh, we're going to be fine and you're not. So Pharaoh decides to tell Moses to sacrifice to God here in Egypt. And Moses says, no way, no way. We are not going to sacrifice here in Egypt. He knew that they would be killed by the people. He tells Pharaoh they're going to go 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice to God. And Pharaoh says that they can do this, but you cannot go very far. The devil doesn't want you to get too far away. He doesn't want you to go very far. And so I'm going to read 8:28. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Just pray for me about the fly situation. So the flies are awful. The plagues are increasing in severity. And so Moses prays that the flies will go, but he tells him something now. He tells him to stop lying to us. He said, but let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Because Pharaoh represents the devil, and the devil is a liar. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. What that means is any lie that's ever been told, its origin goes right back to the devil. He's the father of all lies. He's the one puts that thought in your heart and in your mind to not speak the truth. But Pharaoh and the devil are slow learners. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies, and not one single fly remained. Do you think Pharaoh let the people go? Come on, it's time. Isn't it time after all these plagues? Come on, it's time, guys. No, he did not let the people go. Even though Moses told him, stop the lying, and he kept saying, I'm going to let the people go, and he didn't. So the next plague is going to hit the economy. Surely if we get hit in the pocketbook, it will change things. The next plague, the cattle and the livestock are going to get deadly diseases, and he's going to suffer great, great, great financial loss. So God tells Moses, go again. Warn him again. I'm going to strike the cattle. Just let my people go. That's all he had to do. You've got one job. And he refused. And he said, by the way, this will happen tomorrow. Did Pharaoh repent? I would have repented. Tomorrow it's going to happen. No, no, no. Of course not. But we need to understand this and remind ourselves that God has given us too many, many opportunities, sometimes given us 9 opportunities. So, of course, the stock market in Egypt crashed. Literally, the livestock were no more. Their 401k, they are now bankrupt because Pharaoh has a prideful heart. The spirit of Pharaoh, by the way, is known as the spirit of pride. That's what we would call it, the spirit of pride and deception. And verse 7 says, and Pharaoh sent messengers, and indeed not even on any one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. So he sent people to check out. Did they lose their 401k? Did their livestock go away? No, did not. They have all their livestock. That's just fine. And so they got hit really hard. The animals were gone, but there's no repentance. There's no letting the people go. So the Lord said to Moses, take ashes from a furnace, scatter it towards the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. He always had to go to Pharaoh, always had to tell Pharaoh, warn him, and do this in his sight. And it will become, now we're not getting hit in the pocketbook. How many have ever had two things going on at one time? They got hit so hard, and now he says that this dust, it will cause boils to break out in sores on man and beast throughout all of Egypt. Pharaoh did not repent. Things are going from bad to worse, and it's happening quickly, and the severity is increasing. Just like in the end times, there's going to be signs of the times, and the severity is increasing. People will tell me all the time, well, Pastor Pam, there's always been wars. There's always been rumors of wars. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been this. There's always been that. No, the severity is like it's compared to a woman in labor. A woman in labor, the pain gets closer and closer together. The storms and the wars and things, they're getting closer together, and they're increasing in intensity. They're getting stronger and stronger. And this is what's happening with the plagues here, but still he is hardened to the commands of God. How much do we have to do before we agree? I'm just going to bow my knee to God. I'm going to say that he is God because I clearly see this, and I'm going to surrender to him, do things his way, and my whole life could be restored again. And he's seen that because he's seen God take away the plagues. And God warns him of hail. Now, hail's coming. Hail's coming your way. And he says, and still, and he has Moses tell, and still you exalt yourself above me? Are you still going to tell us that you're better than me, Pharaoh? Better than God? You can do better than me? The locusts, tons of them, all of them. And these people are getting tired of this, the Egyptians, not Pharaoh, not sitting up in the palace. He's got pride. He's got a hard heart, and he feels like he can take it. But Pharaoh's servants say to him, remember the sorcerer said this is the finger of God. Watch what the least of the least, the servants said to him. How long shall this man Moses be a snare to us? Let the people go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? What that means is it's being destroyed. Are you not seeing this? Even the least in the land, the servants know that Egypt is slowly being destroyed. And they know. The servants get it. The sorcerers get it. His employees get it. But he's blinded by pride. Do you know that the spirit of pride is a blind spirit? It does not see itself. And so he got hit. Everything crashed. And you would think that when Pharaoh hears all of his people, surely he's going to listen to some of his advisors, but that is not the case. So Moses and Aaron were brought in again, as in again and again and again and again, not times nine. And Pharaoh said to them, go serve the Lord your God. But then he stops, and there's a pause here in the Greek, in the word of God, there's a pause. He says, who are the ones going with you? Wait. That's a strange question, isn't it? What do you mean, let them go? And then you ask, who's going? Who are we talking about here? I first want to say that God is so merciful. He is just so, so, so merciful. He continues to send them. But he never, ever, ever repents. So Moses says, well, and why does Pharaoh care? I'm going to ask you that question. Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go. We have to hold a feast to the Lord. And he said to them, the Lord had... Now, Pharaoh here, you have to understand the translation. He is developing a stronger attitude than ever before. He's trying to say he's going to let them go. But here's what he said to them. The Lord had better, and I say this with emphasis because that's how he said it. And the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. This was said, according to all commentaries, with attitude, with arrogance, and with a wicked heart. The Lord better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Honey, you're not really the one letting them go. They're going to get out by the blood of the Lamb and no other way. They're going to get out because God brings them out. But he's wanting Pharaoh to relent. And he says, when I let you and your little ones go, exclamation, exclamation. Beware, for there is evil ahead of you. Notice the prophetic threat meant to dissuade Moses. Let me tell you, Moses, there's evil ahead of you. Say what? You're going through the plagues, not me. Not me, Pharaoh. You're the one's got the flies and the swarms and the cattle. Not me. I'm fine. And he said, go now, you who, but he transitions. Remember, he said, when I let you and your little ones go, in the next breath, he says, you go ahead, you who are men. Whoa, whoa, you just said, when I let you and your little ones go. No, he's changing his mind even as the words are coming out of his mouth. He's got bad attitude, wrong heart. You who are men and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire. And they were driven from Pharaoh's presence. He then forced them out of his presence. Now, let me ask you a question. Why does he care who goes? Why does Pharaoh care who goes? He doesn't care so much as who goes. He wants the men to go, but he wants your children. I want to tell you why he says, the men, you can go. Because he wants our children. That's who the devil is after. He don't care as much. These men, they're Israelites, they've been through, they're gonna serve God. He's already kind of knows it, but I'll take your children. If you don't mind giving up your children, but again, I like what Moses said, not a hoof. You can't have our little ones. You can't have our livestock. You can have nothing that belongs to us that God has given us. So you have to understand what's going on here. Pharaoh's under a little bit of pressure right now. He's wanting to know who's going. He tells them that the men can go, but this is not the will of God. And Moses knows it's not the will of God. So guess what happens next? At this point, as I was studying, I almost thought, I almost feel sorry for poor, stupid, foolish Pharaoh. You kind of got to think, how did you get to be Pharaoh? Didn't they have any other candidates for like a Pharaoh? I mean, you're just the dumbest guy I've ever met in my life. Verse 12 says, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts that they may come, calling all locusts, upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, and that the hail has left. The hail destroyed a lot. Now the locusts are going to finish it up. Moses stretched his hand out and brought an east wind on the land that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought up the locusts. They were all over the land. There was such a severity. And the Bible says that previously there had never been such a swarm of locusts and that there never would ever, ever, ever be after that. There would never again, there never has been, and there never will be like what happened that day. And I asked myself the question, why is that? Why did God specifically say this is never, ever going to happen again? Here's the thing. The punishment is going to fit the crime. And I believe in my heart that this was custom designed for Pharaoh. These are the gods they worship. You love locusts, you want to worship them? Come on, locusts, come on in. They want to worship you guys. And they were everywhere. And they literally covered the land. And in fact, it was so dark outside because of the locusts that they couldn't stand it. So here Pharaoh says something really kind of funny. I like this next verse, 16. So Pharaoh calls Moses and Aaron to hurry on over. Come on, hurry, get over here. Now he didn't want to see him anymore. He cast him out of his presence. He says, hurry, come in haste. And I know I drove you guys out of my presence, but I need you to get back here like right away, ASAP. I've sinned against the Lord your God. I've sinned against you. So far, so good, right? Right? Sounds good, doesn't it? I've sinned against you, the Lord God. I sinned against you. Now, therefore, could you please forgive my sin just this once? Just this one time, forgive my sin and pray to the Lord that he'll take away from me this death only. So Moses went out from Pharaoh, prayed to the Lord, and entreated the Lord. And the Lord got rid of every single locust, just like every single fly. Because again, when God does something, he leaves nothing behind. He did it perfectly because that's who he is. And blew them all away. Interesting speech. I've sinned against the Lord. I've sinned against you too. But I won't let the people go. But I've sinned against the Lord and I've sinned against you. But here's the thing. When Pharaoh said, I've sinned against the Lord, your God, we have a problem. We have a problem. When I start calling God, the Lord your God, Tony, the Lord your God, Frida, the Lord your God, Veronica, we have a problem. I don't care anything about God. I don't respect God. I don't honor God. I just kind of see that you like God. He's your God. So what I want to say about the speech he gave about please forgive me, please ask God, he did have regret over what had happened, the judgment of God. I don't want the judgment of God, but he did not repent. Regret is not the same thing as repent. They're two different words. They're two different things altogether. And forgiveness is not just forgive me one time, God. It's forgive me of my sin. So did Pharaoh let the people go? Of course not. Of course not. So at this point, I would have said, no more mercy, no more mercy. You're the dumbest man on the planet. I don't know how you got to be Pharaoh. But the next plague is darkness. And by the way, I want to say that while we're on this, and I didn't have time, I don't want to expound on this tonight because it would take too much time, but hell is going to be dark. And anybody know that hell is going to be dark? There's not going to be no lights on in hell. Not at all. It's going to be complete darkness. There's not going to be friends. There's not going to be parties. It's the ultimate forever plague. It's the ultimate punishment of sin. So the darkness hit Egypt. It was so thick that no one could see anyone or anything. They did not see one another, nor did they rise from his place, anyone's place, for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had something in their dwelling. What was it? Light. They had light because we're children of the day. We're children of light. We have the light. We have the light of God. So there was no darkness in their homes. It was just Egypt. So Pharaoh tells Moses to gather the people and the little ones and take everything. And here's where he says it, except for the livestock. You can't take the livestock. So I'm asking you, why is it a problem if they just leave behind the cows? Can't you get more cows? It's not. Here's the problem with that. These were specifically raised for sacrifice. For sacrifice. We raised these to give them to God. We're not leaving them behind. We are going for the purpose of sacrificing God. We're not going to leave anything or anyone behind. And so Moses gets very, very angry with them. And he says, okay, you've spoken well, then I will never see your face again. I'm going to ask the music team to come because I wanted to deliberately end here for this reason. Next week, we are going to talk extensively about the final plague and why it could have affected Israel also and how it didn't because of the blood, of course. But why would none of these other plagues have affected them? And why would this have affected them had they not applied the blood? And also, I want to talk about next week how Israel was not the only people that were saved, that came into these households and were saved. There were a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with them. And that's what I want to talk about, our testimony and how these people in Egypt, Moses and Aaron were unable to get Pharaoh's attention and unable to get the leadership and most of them, but there were actually people that the Bible mentions who did see what was going on, who did understand that there is a God of heaven and earth. And they came in and they received in these households because the Bible said anyone who came into the household would be saved. And they were. And that's one of the things that I absolutely loved about this story, that when the blood was applied, that they were allowed to bring other people in. And that's us. We should be able to bring other people in, no matter whose heart. Don't worry about the Pharaohs. Don't worry about the people that are in pride. God's giving them chance after chance after chance. However, there's still some that are going to come in, and especially during these last days.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.